Welcome to Making Sense of It All with Jesse Stakes. I'm so proud to be able to say that this is our 50th episode. It's been a lot of fun doing the show this year, and I have to say that I have learned a ton from the different people that I've had on as guests. This week is going to be no different. Did you know that over 80% of legal disputes can avoid a courtroom altogether and be settled through the process of mediation? I think most folks know what the definition of the term is, but how many people out there truly understand what the process of mediation looks like? I can tell you that I didn't. My guest this week is James Murphy. He's a circuit court mediator in Duval County, Florida. James has an extensive background in banking and the financial sector that gives him a unique perspective on business disputes. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's jump right into it. So tell me, I know a lot of people out there probably think that they understand what mediation is and what a mediator does, but can you tell me a little bit about what you do in your current role and what a mediator actually does?
Sure. I am a Florida Supreme Court certified circuit court mediator. English, that means I help people who are involved in lawsuits to settle their differences without going to court. That's in a nutshell.
Simple enough, right?
Yep.
I think sometimes people think that it's anytime you start involving any kind of a legal process around anything, I think people get a little nervous. They build things up in their mind, but it really is that simple.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, compare that to preparing for a trial. Mediation is a much simpler process. It's much more relaxed. It's much more organic. And it is a way of really bringing resolution to people who have a disagreement.
Right. So before we jump into all that, because I think we'll dive into everything pretty heavy. How did you get here? What made you decide to become a mediator?
Well, before mediation, I had a full career in banking. And okay. That was really my path to mediation. Over my long banking career, I saw the full life cycle of families and businesses go from happy, humble beginnings to success and growth to strains in the relationship and all too often breakups. And as a banker, I was at the center of all things financial and trusted by both sides in the argument. So many times I found myself drawn into the middle, trying to help my friends make peace with each other. So several years ago, as I was trying to think about what are the next steps in my career, mediation was a natural progression.
I always think it's interesting because there's so many skills and so many talents that people utilize in the banking industry that really do translate into other things. Yes?
Absolutely. Yes. Banking is a great place to start. You can take the skills that you learn in banking so many places, not just the financial skills, but the interpersonal skills, of course, the business development skills. It is a great place to start, a great foundation for just about any career.
So let's jump into it a little bit here so we can start talking about, you know, what mediation is. When you say, I guess what I'm asking is, what do you actually mean? When you say somebody's going through the mediation process, what does that actually mean?
Okay, well, mediation is a process that can help people who are in a dispute reach an agreement that puts the issue behind them. And it happens with the help of a third-party facilitator, someone who's neutral to both sides and has no personal stake in the outcome. That's the mediator. That's me. And mediation is a process because it gets results gradually by helping each side to realize what is both possible and practical. Right? It opens the eyes and minds of people who initially could only imagine one outcome to new possibilities. So consider that when a case comes to me, both sides have taken extreme positions. Right? Party A on one side is demanding everything, while party B on the other side is unwilling to give up anything. Mediation uses reason and enlightenment to move people closer together in small steps.
So at the end of that, when you're like, What is the expected outcome? And is also, is it binding? Is it something to where they go through the mediation process and you find a way to kind of, you know, work through it and get to a, you know, an agreed upon outcome for both parties? You know, what does that settlement look like?
Well, I guess at the start, it's probably important for us to make a distinction between mediators, judges, and arbitrators. Unlike judges and arbitrators, mediators have no authority to render decisions or to impose settlements. Our role is purely persuasive, right? We're there to encourage constructive dialogue in the search for a mutual agreement. I go into every session confident that there's a deal in here somewhere. We just have to find it.
Sounds familiar.
You know, and fun. Well, that's right. We said banking is a good foundation for just about any profession, and banking is certainly it's just certainly true for banking, right?
No doubt.
But you know, persuading people you know, who are committed to getting their own way is a challenge, right? Because both parties are reluctant to budge, and neither party wants to be the first to budge. So you've got to break the stalemate somehow.
I got to imagine too, you're dealing with things like divorces, or you're dealing with things where people are arguing about a partnership that's being dissolved. I mean, you're dealing with stuff where people are probably pretty stubborn on both sides. They really don't, you know, they don't want to see the other person's perspective. So that's got to be one of the biggest challenges of the whole thing.
Yeah, emotion plays a big deal, a big part in mediation. Not my emotion, of course. You know, I'm neutral to both sides, and I don't have any interest in personal interest in the outcome. But there's certainly the parties involved are emotional, particularly in family cases where you're dealing with financial distributions, you're dealing with child custody, and the rest. It's very challenging. So what? But mostly, what I deal with is business disputes. And but okay. Either side, and either way you look at it, you imagine trying to deal with two giant boulders, right? They're too far apart for me to pull together all at one time. So what I have to do is use shuttle diplomacy. I go behind one boulder and I push on it until I get a little bit of movement. Then I go to the other side and I push on it until I get a little bit of movement. And I shuttle back and forth, pushing on each side until I begin to get results at an accelerating pace. But you know, the trouble with moving boulders is it takes time. And sure. Time can be my adversary. If an hour goes by without tangible results, people can become discouraged and want to throw in the towel. It's essential for me to keep people optimistic and engaged at all times.
So I guess, how do you do that? I mean, how do you take two things, you know, two things that are very difficult to move, or two opinions that are very difficult to change, and how do you keep the momentum going to where this conversation doesn't end in a stalemate, or they don't walk away from the table, I guess I should say?
Well, first, I bring the parties into separate rooms for confidential negotiations. These are places where everybody can speak freely, and nothing that is told to me in those private conversations is shared with the other side unless I am told explicitly to deliver the message. So in these one-on-one meetings, I'm able to understand each side's reasoning and find room for movement. So I can ask party A, okay, well, why is it you think you're entitled to everything? And party B, why do you think you shouldn't have to come up with anything, right? So I start there. I look for room for movement. Then the next step is I become the devil's advocate. I challenge each side's position, exposing weaknesses in their cases and planting seeds of doubt about their prospects for success in court. At the same time, I'm drawing an encouraging picture of what's possible. And throughout the course of the day, that picture becomes more vivid. And as we continue to negotiate, each side begins to see a common vision of what they can accomplish together.
So I would imagine that's when you probably start seeing people come back to the table and they start actually truly negotiating with each other.
Yes, absolutely. That's the beauty of mediation. Both sides collaborate to create a resolution that works for everyone.
So how do you differentiate this between if you were to sit in court with a judge and you've got a winner and a loser in a case? What does this look like compared to that?
Yeah, that's a very insightful observation, Jesse. You're right, because in court, the issue is never really resolved. One side will always believe that justice was not served. Now, that's not to say a mediated settlement sends everyone home completely happy. Nobody gets everything they want. But in mediation, everybody gets something and nobody goes home empty-handed.
So I feel like it's more you're truly are bringing two parties together for a discussion, and there's actually a compromise that's met that they can both live with.
Well, there's a settlement. Compromise okay. and settlement are really different. A compromise is an agreement that displeases both sides equally. A settlement, on the other hand, acknowledges reality. It becomes clear through the course of our session that one side really does have a stronger case than the other. So what happens is the party with the weaker hand begins thinking, gee, if I go to court, I could lose everything. It will likely cost me less to cut a deal today. Well, likewise, the party with the stronger hand is thinking, yeah, I'll probably win this case. But there's no telling how a judge is going to respond to the evidence as it is presented by opposing counsel. So I may get less than I expected. It's even possible I could end up with nothing at all. I might be wise to hedge my bets and negotiate a settlement that I can live with today.
It really does feel like almost playing like playing a hand in poker, yes?
It is. It's very much like that. And that's really the decision you're trying to make. Do I want to negotiate a settlement that both sides can agree on, or do we want to gamble on an all or nothing decision in court?
No doubt. Well, in your experience and what you've seen, do you feel like that this is a very, you know, that this is a system and that this is something that works? It really does feel like it kind of keeps some stuff out of the court system, which probably helps relieve a lot of, you know, a lot of backup, if you will, in case loads for the court systems. But do you feel like that this works for all parties?
Well, you're right about the courts being overloaded. In fact, more and more judges are advising their litigants to try to settle their differences through mediation rather than going to trial. The court system really is just jammed up. The judges have more cases than they can handle. So if they can if people can settle their differences without going to court, it's a win-win for both sides. And mediation really does work. And one of the reasons it works is it removes obstacles in communication. Right? Bringing the parties together in one building, but putting them in separate rooms, takes personalities out of the mix. There's still plenty of discussion, but there's no shouting. There's no intimidation. There are no accusations. There are no interruptions, right? Think about what we see in the presidential candidate debates, right? Whether you have two candidates or seven candidates, right? It just turns into mayhem. Well, putting the parties into separate rooms eliminates all of that. And then in our private discussions, we open cracks in each party's case. We raise doubts that may make settlement a better option than gambling on, as we said earlier, an all or nothing judgment in court. It also helps the lawyers to focus on issues that they don't want to disclose to opposing counsel, but still want their clients to consider, such as contributory factors that may weaken their case in a judge's mind. So for instance, let's take a personal injury example. Your attorney may say, well, Jesse, yeah, it's true that the produce department at the grocery store was negligent for leaving that banana peel on the floor. But it's also true if you had not been racing down the aisle to go grab that last package of Limburger cheese that was on sale at deep discount, it's very likely that you would have seen that banana peel and could have avoided stepping on it, right? So these are the kinds of things that lawyers get to talk about. And so in these private sessions, both sides go through a reality test and a risk assessment that makes the process work.
James, how the heck do you know that I like Limburger cheese?
Well, I think you're the only person that likes Limburger cheese.
only kidding. Okay, you talked about it earlier, but let's play devil's advocate for a second here. You know, what if you bring somebody into mediation and you really just can't get there? They can't reach an agreement. They're stuck in their own thoughts, or they believe what they believe is right. What then? Like, they've agreed to mediation, but they just, you know, they can't get to an agreed upon outcome for this. So what's next for them?
You know, that's you raise a great point, because I have experienced that on more than one occasion. There are really two reasons that mediation fails. One is maybe three, but one is the one of the parties believes they have an ironclad case and they're just not going to listen to anything else. They're certain that they're going to win in court. And nothing that is said in mediation is going to raise any doubts about that possibility. So there is that. Some people are just plain hard-headed, right? They won't listen to reason. I had a case years ago where it was involving a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and the bank was laying out a very reasonable proposal for this gentleman to accept, and he refused to do it. And so we ended at an impasse. Well, it turns out that several days later, the person who was holding up the agreement said, well, I just wanted everybody to know that I wasn't going to roll over. Well, rolling over had nothing to do with it. He just had a hard head. I said,
right.
And so he ended up accepting the deal that was available to him days earlier. So that can happen. The other reason that mediation sometimes doesn't work is bad advice on the part of third parties who were involved in the negotiations. It's not the lawyers. They're never the problem. It's usually
of course not. Lawyers are never the problem.
Well, not in this case. They're usually not. I mean, they have their own cases to advance, and they're there to support their clients. I get all that. But generally speaking, the lawyers are not obstacles to progress. What happens is that sometimes the one side or maybe both sides will bring in a consultant, someone who is supposed to be an expert in the field. And that expert, in order to add value to the relationship, is going to be obstructionist. They're going to say, no, you shouldn't take that. I know how that business works. So I wouldn't accept it. And so they stand in the way of progress. But taking those things out of the mix, mediation really is very successful. You know, the other thing that comes up is people always say, well, I'm standing on principle. It's not the money. It's the principle of the thing. Well, when you boil it all down, it is the money. It all comes down to that. But those are some of the things that can stand in the way of successful mediation.
So for somebody who's listening to this and they're, you know, they're kind of, if they have their own personal situation or if they're just listening to learn, then, you know, bottom line, what would motivate somebody to choose mediation over going a different direction?
Well, for one thing, mediation saves time, right? Whenever a lawsuit is filed, the first thing that happens is discovery, which is the gathering of evidence. Lawyers on both sides demand documentation of everything. I mean, they want bank statements, they want financial statements, they want copies of email correspondence, text messages, paper correspondence, right? And then there are the depositions where you have to go to somebody's office and give testimony, answer questions under oath. Right. All of that takes time away from other priorities, like being with your family or building your business. Right. So mediation can save time. Then there's cost. Mediation can save money. I mean, gathering all that information we just talked about, there's a cost to that, whether you hire somebody to do it or you do it yourself. Then once you collect all the information, it has to be scanned or copied and delivered to your attorney for review before it goes to opposing counsel. Well, your attorney's review of the documents is all billable time, right?
Sure.
Every conversation you have with your attorney, every meeting you have, every email message you exchange, every text message you exchange, it's all billable. And that doesn't even consider the time that will be devoted to actually preparing for trial. Well, in mediation, most cases can be settled or not in a day. So just think about all the billable hours you could save by going through mediation versus preparing for trial.
Sure.
And then there's risk. Well, another reason people would choose mediation is risk. Mediation is much less risky than going to trial. With mediation, you know what you have, right? As we said earlier, there's no telling how a judge is going to respond to the evidence. So you may think you have a winning case, but the judge may have a totally different idea. And so when the decision is handed down, you may get an unpleasant surprise. And the best part of mediation is that everybody gets to return to a normal life with an agreement that all parties had a hand in creating.
No doubt. Well, and I mean, I'm sure everybody that's listening to this can think of high profile cases that have gone to court and that, you know, all of this evidence that they have to turn in for discovery, it all becomes public knowledge as well. So, I mean, it's really... people essentially know your business. When you go into court with something, then the public has the opportunity to know your business as well. I got to imagine that a lot of people in today's world, because of things like that, and because of the, you know, how freely information flows anymore, mediation really becomes a win-win for everybody involved.
Yeah, you raised a number of great points. The thing about one of the nice things about mediation is it's completely confidential. It's a sealed environment. Nothing that is said or negotiated in mediation leaks out. So it's completely confidential. And,
I got to imagine the demand for that has got to be increasing in today's world.
Absolutely. The demand for mediation all around is increasing. People are definitely seeing the benefit of mediation over going to court. Now, there's some disputes that just can't be settled in mediation. You're going to have to go to trial, especially if it's going to involve a jury. But mediation is a growing industry.
So let me ask you this.
So, I mean, it's a win-win. And you mentioned it's a win-win for everybody, and it is. I mean, the litigants get to put their dispute into the past with a settlement. And even the lawyers, both lawyers with a negotiated agreement get to claim victory. Right? That doesn't happen in court. Right? One side wins and one side loses. But in mediation, everybody wins.
Right. You're not having to split the baby.
That's right. Exactly.
So let me ask you this then, because, I mean, I don't see a downside in anything that you have said. You know, as a mediator, what types of disputes do you handle? What if people are listening to this and if they have things going on, what are things that should trigger them to, you know, to think of James Murphy?
Sure. I handle any kind of a case that doesn't involve family matters. So I'm not certified in family mediation for one thing. And as we mentioned earlier, it's very emotional. I'd really prefer to not to. Business disputes are my specialty. I have particular expertise with cases that involve banking issues such as loan defaults, debt restructures, foreclosures, and bankruptcies. I'm also especially skilled in handling disagreements that involve contracts and building construction matters.
Well, and I know we just touched on it before, but you really do have an extensive knowledge in banking and underwriting. And I think that there's a tremendous advantage for folks that tap you to handle disputes such as these.
Well, and that's a great point. One of the things I find, of course, in any mediation, there are two lawyers. It's not exclusive, of course, but most of the lawyers that I encounter in mediation are not finance people.
Right? Sure.
So it helps to have somebody, another extra tool, that extra tool in your toolbox, right? To add insight into the case that may help it resolve.
I couldn't agree more. I think that being able to draw from past experience and just the breadth of situations and examples that you have to pull from in your history in the industry are tremendous. So before we wrap this up, is there anything, any parting thoughts or anything that you can think of that we haven't touched on that you feel people would benefit from hearing?
Yes, I'd say the moral of mediation is, to quote John Lennon, give peace a chance, right? As we said earlier, you know, both sides begin with extreme positions. So when they go directly to trial without mediation, there's nothing that has happened to moderate their thinking, right?
Sure.
So the trial becomes a knockdown, drag-out fight to the finish. Each one ends with a winner and a loser. Mediation, on the other hand, helps people to see reason. It restores harmony and brings closure to everybody.
Fair enough. So if people hear this, they're interested, they'd like to learn more about it, or they have a matter that they would like to speak to you about, how can they contact you?
Well, they can contact me by telephone at 904-307-2582. They can email me at TigerHoya@bellsouth.net. That's TigerHoya@bellsouth.net. Or they can find me on LinkedIn as James Stephen Murphy, Circuit Court Mediator in Jacksonville, Florida.
Awesome. James, I really appreciate you joining me today. I think it was insightful. I think that people should get a lot out of this. It's not something that people look at every day, but it's something that can impact their lives dramatically. So thanks again for joining me.
Well, thank you, Jesse. I hope your listeners never need what I do, but if they do, please think of me. And thank you very much for having me. It was an honor to be part of your program.
Absolutely. First, I want to thank James for joining me today. It was an honor and a pleasure, sir. You know, when I first started doing the show just about a year ago now, 50 episodes felt like a big number. And it is. But it flew by and I enjoyed doing every single episode. Just like everything that you accomplish in life, I think you should take a minute and celebrate it, and I absolutely will. But after that, it's on to the next. And I look forward to bringing you the next 50 episodes and many more beyond that. For today, that's going to be a wrap for us. I'll catch you guys next time.